Welcome to the Weird Science Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Shane.
And you're listening to the podcast that explores everything weird about science. And today, our topic is this.
It's like that we have a problem here that needs further investigation.
Yes.
That is the understatement of a congressman today. After hearing testimony from three witnesses in Congress under oath about unidentified aerial phenomena, non-human crafts, and a reverse engineering program and even biological matter. And in particular, he was responding to a very decorated commander who had a personal experience with what is called a tic-tac. That is a was often called a TikTok.
Today they said it a lot.
So
and I'm like, yes, you are all boomers.
But that understated conclusion, we have a problem that needs further investigation. I think that in many ways captures the entire hearing, and so we are very excited to talk about that today. And this our guest today has been a guest on our prior iteration, Conspiracy Beer Me, our first guest ever on the Weird Science podcast, and who better. But our friend and ufologist, Sean Donnelly, welcome to the show.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
We're good. We're back in Shane's studio, which is really nice and good to be here. And we got together today at 10 o'clock to watch the Oversight Committee. It ran much longer than I thought.
Same here.
You know, we can talk just generally about impressions. I think that anyone who's been ingrained in ufology and the lore and the information and disclosures, there was very little new information today.
Yes.
Yes.
However, it was striking to sit on the couch and watch the U.S. Congress ask questions of people under oath. And I thought all three witnesses, their credentials and their character seemed very unimpeachable. It was nice to see. They didn't have, like we were saying, they didn't have Tom DeLonge up there. Who
Right.
Sure.
So there was. And in fact, at the end, when they asked them, why did you come forward? Everyone said, in some words, like, it was my duty to come forward. I felt obligated as in service to the United States to say this out loud.
And no one chuckled after they said duty, so you knew they were serious.
You knew they were serious men, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a thing where I think it's, like, we've talked about it in past episodes of the last pod, and I think when they go the military angle, I think what they are doing is they're like, oh, the whole country can get behind this. It's and so we go this way. Hey, does it pose a danger? Like, if it was just if it was a big commune we lived on and it was just part of nature, and there wouldn't be a reason for them to even entertain it. So I agree. It's if you've only been into it for the past couple of years, you probably heard all those guys. You know exactly what's going on with all of them. But the fact that it's on such a grand stage and so much coverage and so official, in having that, you at least have – that's quasi-disclosure. Like, at least by them entertaining it, you have this – there's such a gravitas there. So, yeah, I was the same way. Man, it's almost like when you get a lottery ticket and you're like, I probably won. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that feeling where you're like, I want the bombshell of like a new video or something, or they're going to admit and say Roswell was what you thought it was. But of course, it was kind of that's classified, boom, boom, boom. But at least this thing can act as a catalyst for future disclosure.
Right, right. It was very clear that this was the first of many oversight committee meetings, and probably the way that Congress and the Senate work, all these other committees will now jump on board to try to score points with their constituents and also to sort of come at it from one angle or another.
Right. And like you said, focusing on the military aspect are a detriment. I think Ryan Graves, his whole business he started was to bring light to the fact that it's dangerous up there in our skies. And if you mark it as a safety issue, more people will get on board as opposed to just like, oh, they're in the airspace. It's like, but who cares? They can do whatever.
They can do it. Right, exactly.
Make it a safety issue.
My general takeaway from the whole hearing, what I was thinking is I think there is going to be more oversight committee, but as far as what information is given, they're so tied up. Their hands are so tied. What I'm hoping is the hearing acts as a catalyst for people to circumvent the government aspect of it. Because I think when by having the hearing, you're giving so much credibility that somebody comes out with a new piece of media and it's vetted and it's not CGI'd and it's not this. Those two things hand in hand act as such a, that's the bombshell, I think. I don't think you're going to get it from the DOD.
Right.
I think you could get it from private citizen or whatever it is, and then it gets vetted. And then you have that plus, well, look, Congress was just talking about this and it's exactly what they said it was. Or even a couple of those pieces that they mentioned, like the Matt Gaetz thing, which I know we want to get into, but the that we know exists, or like the HD video of the Tic Tac encounter, one of the Tic Tac encounters. So I think this could be a great a bedfellow for a private company, whatever, private citizen release media that comes out from this point forward. It's legitimizing taking the stigma away.
Yeah, the article in New York Times in 2014 or whenever it happened, or I can't remember the year it happened, but that was a paradigm shift. Now this is another paradigm shift, and we're just slowly inching our way to just an understanding. I think it'll never be a thing where they're like, ta-da! It won't be like circus roll at the time.
That's what I was thinking as well. Yeah, I was thinking there's never going to be that moment where some dude from Independence Day, one of the Robert Loggia from Independence Day comes out and says, you were right. We've been doing this illegal thing for 90 years. We've been trumping the government process for 90 years, and we're sorry. But yeah, here's a bunch of photos of UFOs. No, it'll be a stopgap at every turn. So that's why it's up to other methods of information collection to really, really put the cherry on top of what happened today, I think.
Yeah, and there were intonations. Ranking Member Garcia mentioned that the media has a huge role to play in this towards the end, and there were several statements, one I think particularly from Senator Ocasio-Cortez about the protection of whistleblowers, and there was an overpowering sense from the committee members of, if you want to come forward with information, we are the people here to protect you with that information. I was struck often by David Grush's testimony about how personally unsafe he felt at times. You know, there was one question where they asked, have people been murdered? And he was like, I can't say that on the record.
Yeah.
Which generally means yes, but I can't tell you about what went down on the record. So,
I agree. I think that one thing I will say, to play devil's advocate a little bit, with Cortez, with them saying that on the panel, I will say I'm somebody who has I have something in my possession. I'm a private citizen, even if it's military based or not. I will be honest. The amount of times they said how much they got stonewalled by the military today, and I'm the witness that comes forward, like, we can protect you. It's like, well, you can't even get the information that you want. So obviously, there's other forces at play here. So I can understand the idea of still not feeling 100% safe. Yeah, I can call my congressman's office, but these guys have a car outside my house or whatever it is, where there's these phone calls and they're saying whatever. I'm wondering what the Grush examples of harassment. I'm guessing it's harassment and some sort of physical violence to either people he knows or whatever it is. So, or Cortez, they can't do shit about that. Like, if there's some nefarious thing that happens, that people who have credible information about this stuff, they're kind of outside the purview of, like, come to Congress, we'll help you. I think they can get you. They can make it public so that less of something happened to you, the better. Almost like the Lazar thing from back in the day, where he's like, I blew the whistle because I wanted to survive, and everybody's like, it could be like, you know, a little cloak and dagger, a little made up. But I think that it's both sides of it. I think it's good they said that, because it means like, hey, we're still into this and we're on it. But it's also like, even with the Grush thing, and that's the first time you heard somebody go like, yeah, that credible say, oh, there's violence that goes on related to this topic.
And what is law? Like, being afraid of law is like, what is law in a lawless, someone that operates outside the law? It means nothing to them.
100%. 100%.
There was a push, I think, to get civilian testimony and sightings and catalog that in a way that's systematic. I really liked what Favre said, where he said,
Favre.
That's not the last time I'm going to make that.
Never get it right.
Where he said, don't don't add your own spin to it. Just collect the information and put it down. And there was, you know, we need to know not only what things look like, but where they seem to be oriented and going to. And we need a system to collect all this information. And people that see these things, I mean civilians who see them, we need to have a methodology for collecting that information. That was clear.
Yeah.
We need a system for non-military civilian pilots to collect information, because that was one that seemed to be where there was a lot of retaliation in your work,
right,
in your job, where you're a pilot for Delta and you're like, hey, yeah, I saw this thing and someone's like, don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Everyone who brings it up loses their job.
Well, there used to be in the back of the pilot's guide, if you'd see something and it listed Robert Bigelow, you contacted him. So that's
my buddy's a pilot, and he sent me the
really?
Page you're talking about, and it was and it was number for Bigelow Industries. That's what it was.
Wow.
Interesting.
That was before Bigelow got out of it, I guess. Whatever his deal was.
Man.
So, 100%. I think that even them mentioning the commercial airline aspect to this at one point, where they said, so in so many words, you're saying they want to put their rep above the safety of the pilots and the passengers, and they were like, yep. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, yep, so these guys are seeing stuff and then they're disregarding it. And then it goes back to like the Chicago incident, the United one, which is like, you know, that got so swept under the rug immediately. And I think that's why the multitude of reasons of why it does is it comes down to business and comes down to,
right,
we're not going to be known as the wacky UFO airline, or, you know, we saw a UFO on our
own. Or who's going to fly
this. But hopefully this thing from today will, I don't know, trickle down some validity to these things so that people can just be as honest as possible going forward.
Yes. I want to, we said there was a lot of, you know, information we had heard. I want to play a clip that includes information that I knew of, but I had never heard it described the way that Lieutenant Graves described it. The questioning, I think, came from Representative Luna. And again, we said this, but it was just so striking how cordial and complimentary the Democrats and Republicans were, like how articulate they seemed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, I want to just compliment my colleague. And you're like, where is this government?
Yeah. Wait. I told Justin, I was like, it's crazy how I looked at Matt Gaetz for like 5 minutes. And I was like, I don't want to kill this guy, and I don't think he's a horrible pedophile. What's happening?
UFOs bringing people together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
like a t-shirt for the pod, just Ocasio-Cortez and Matt Gaetz on a UFO together.
So here is a clip of Congressman Luna questioning Ryan Graves about an incident at the Vandenberg Air Force Base. We'll just listen to a little bit of this, so check this out.
Tell the event that occurred at Vandenberg Air Force Base.
Certainly. In the 2003 timeframe, a large group of Boeing contractors were operating near one of the launch facilities at Vandenberg Air Force Base when they observed a very large 100-yard-sided red square approach the base from the ocean and hover at low altitude over one of the launch facilities. This object remained for about 45 seconds or so before darting off over the mountains. There was a similar event within 24 hours later in the evening. This was a morning event, I believe 8:45 in the morning. Later in the evening, post-sunset, there were reports of other sightings on base, including some aggressive behaviors. These objects were approaching some of the security guards at rapid speeds before darting off. And this is information that was received through one of the witnesses that have approached me at Americans for Safe Aerospace.
So that's him describing this incident. And what was stunning was there was lots of testimony about how these objects are able to hover in still space, even in Category 5 for hurricane winds, which we don't, I think most people know this, we don't have aircraft. Well, we have helicopters. We don't have jets that can hover like that. You know, like it, you know, but these things
perfectly still.
Perfectly
still.
Right.
We have a Harrier and others.
Right. Perfectly still, and then accelerate to, at times, Mach 2 or Mach 1, just incredible speeds, and multiple times people said, we don't know the physics of that defy what we understand of how a pilot can be in there. And so here, right. And this one is.
They even brought that point up at one point. Yeah. He says, can a human survive in something doing those maneuvers? And they're like, no,
plainly. Right.
Be jelly.
Right. And this one is incredible to me because, one, it was witnessed by hundreds of people, but it was a football field. It was a 100-yard size craft.
Yeah. It's always a football field. I think that's the only represent. Like, we only know big things in terms of football stadiums. That shows how dumb we are as Americans. We're like, it's got to be like 100 yards. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that is a strikingly large aircraft.
It is big. Yeah.
And red rectangular shape, and it was, you know, and later on, Graves was asked if they were interested in our nuclear capabilities, and he said resoundingly yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I thought I had not heard that description before of a football-sized field, multiple incidents at the same base, some of them aggressively approaching
security. And he said details. Red in a cube, right? I had not heard that description before.
Yeah, that was me new
either.
To me.
I haven't either.
That was new to me.
Yeah. I know Phoenix Lights, I think a couple of those witnesses were like, it was like the size of a football. It was like, if it was a structure, it was the size of like a football field.
Yeah.
But that's Phoenix Lights. But yeah, normally I've heard the orbs and the big red ball that was above that nuclear missile site and kind of was at the security gate.
In North Dakota.
It's so funny how these things get to the security gate. They're like, I don't have my pass. They never go beyond it. I think because they know it's military in there.
But they turned red so you know they could if they wanted.
Well, one interesting thing kind of on the same topic was when Fravor, he only deviated from the other guys like once. There was a point where they said, do you think they could be, they want to learn our weapons? Mm. And the other two were like, yes. And he was like, it's possible. Possibly. I think he said that because if they know. I think they just know. I don't think that they're, I think they know what we have. And that's maybe, you know, the rumor is it's part of the issue. And the nuclear capabilities is why they're here. And that's why they showed up the first time. And that's why Roswell happened. But apparently they've been showing up even before that. And then I guess the frequency increased. But it's interesting to me that I don't think they're going to, I guess I'm thinking, they're going to what? They're going to learn something. I guess I just want to assess what we have, like, weapons wise.
Yeah, it's interesting. So like, like you said, I didn't even think about that necessarily, but having Grush and Graves affirm certain things and then Fravor say possibly a lot of times, it just shows how there is a deviation or definitely a delineation between who knows what. And, you know, it's like they've been read in on things. He's just a pilot. He saw it, but he doesn't know what it's about. So it's like he can't necessarily confirm these things, but the other guys definitely can.
Right,
so that
was kind of in the details with those.
Yeah.
And that also shows why that guy's so solid, because he's like, I'm not going to say some stuff I don't know.
Right, I noticed, I told Justin this earlier, when he was reading his opening statement, I've heard many interviews with Fravor, and he's very comfortable and calm and talking like he's talking to his buddies, but this was on paper, and he was having to read it, and you could tell that he was either a little flustered or he's not used to having to read things that are by the book for law, and he seemed like a little bit nervous. He was skipping over some things, and he was just, it wasn't his normal self, I thought.
No, he did seem a little nervous. I think it was just probably the absolute just grandeur of being Congress telling a story he told on podcasts and to buddies at a bar. You know, it's got to be insane to be in front of because every single word's being watched.
Yes,
and it is in other venues. It is as well. That's what people say about Fravor. They're like, he's been telling the same story for 20 years.
Totally,
which is why he's so credible. Besides his background, but I saw the same thing. He looked a little nervous.
Yeah,
I think they all might have been. Well, no, the one Graves looked pretty cool, calm and collected.
Graves looked great. Grush looked. He looked like he hadn't had sleep, and I get it. He's probably being harassed. He had some bags under his eyes. He had a lot of pressure. I get it. I should be their stylist.
Well, they're also clearly Grush had a lot to lose in terms of, you could tell that, you know, because of his background, he is an intelligence officer, and he was, you could tell, checking, making sure at times that he was, you know, I have to say this legally as it's my obligation as an intelligence officer. And there is something about testifying under oath that you're like, you know, somebody asks you something and you're like, I think so, probably, but I'm not going to say yes definitively. Right. under oath. You know, that's
absolutely. And it's actually, it's funny you bring that up because one of the things he brought up was the Grush Kirkpatrick relationship is actually pretty interesting to me because, and the bullet points that you gave me before we started, I didn't know this, and it kind of makes sense. Kirkpatrick, I think, was just interviewed by Congress, right? There was no, it wasn't under oath. I didn't know that. I didn't look it up. I didn't know that. And that makes a really big difference, obviously. And just like you said, being under oath is this thing. It's like, I can go to jail for perjury. And if there is some ominous factor behind this, they'll make sure that happens. And this look, he's lying. This isn't the case. But the interesting part is Grush bringing up Kirkpatrick and saying, like, I offered to read him in on this stuff, and he turned me down.
Which
makes you think it's like a company man thing. It seems so movie-ish that it's just once again, it's Blue Book once again. That arrow is Blue Book once again. It's like, it's so, oh my God, we've been here before where... Who was it? Hynek. Where Hynek was Kirkpatrick, and then changed his mind after the fact, right?
Yes. Yeah,
started believing these things because he's like, something doesn't add up. But it seems like such a bad move to just do the same exact thing and have this guy. It's like, nah, but he's a scientist. Like, so was the other guy. But it's like, no. He's outside the government. And then if what this, I believe what Grush is saying is true, and he offered to read him in, and then he has plausible deniability by going, I'm not even going to go down that road. So you can't believe anything that you're being told by any group. Oh yeah, maybe Arrow exists, but if every avenue is not being explored, then what are you supposed to do? You know?
Yeah. And I think that this is a nice segue to point out that, you know, the two, ex-military, their stories, which are of firsthand accounts or firsthand in terms of Graves, he now collects accounts from servicemen who are afraid to come forward on record. And their stories are one thing. What Grush is saying is very different. And this was extremely clear when he was questioned by Congressman Mouskowitz, which I'm gonna play a clip for, because what Grush is suggesting is the intent and scope of is much broader, in some sense more nefarious. So I just want to listen to this clip.
So. This government work, have you met with people with direct knowledge or have direct knowledge yourself of non-human origin craft?
Yes, I personally interviewed those individuals.
Mr. Grush, as a result of your previous government work, have you met with people with direct knowledge or have direct knowledge yourself about ATs, advanced technologies that the U.S. government has?
Based on conventional advanced tech, I was briefed to the preponderance of the Defense Department's both space and aerospace compartmented programs,
Do you have knowledge or do you have reason to believe that there are programs in the advanced tech space that are unsanctioned?
Yes, I do.
So that section of the testimony was remarkable to me. Do you have knowledge of people who have non-human craft? Yes. Mm-hmm. Advanced tech by the U.S.? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it non-sanctioned, meaning that there is no oversight of it? Nobody, it's not been sanctioned by the President of the United States, Congress, the Department of Defense. It's essentially off the record.
Absolutely. And there's even another, I don't think, maybe it wasn't Raskin, but there's another point where he talks about how do they fund them? Well, what they do is defense contractors charge them more. It's laundering the fucking money.
Yeah, laundering the money.
Defense contractors. I didn't know this is how it was done. I actually learned a lot from that too. Where it's so a private company charges the government $30 billion for something that costs $10 billion, and then $20 billion is put into this AT. And then I'm guessing that company has a piece of that as well, which also keeps the documents outside the FOIA purview, which is like, so it basically all it comes down to is the fucking Eisenhower speech from the military industrial complex speech. It just set in for 90 years.
Yes. Well,
these guys, you wouldn't know, there's no difference at this point. It's private, company and Department of Defense. It's so there is no difference. It's privately owned.
So
basically I was interested that I go, there you go. That's how the black money comes about. And even when they were talking about, I think Burchett was talking about how even the Pentagon, they declare a loss a loss of money of billions of dollars a year anyway. So it's like, well, even there you go. Shouldn't something,
you didn't realize?
All UFOs. I'm just saying, like, shouldn't that ring a bell? That be a fucking criminal act? Why isn't that up here? There's no auditing of that, you know?
Well, what's crazy is probably 20 years ago, all over the news, they had articles about how government contractors were charging $300 for toilet seats.
Right.
So it's basically, it's like you mentioned, it's like, oh, they charge 30 over 20 for a thing. But honestly, they do it with little transactions. That's the way you do it, right? So you're like,
incrementally.
So I'm going to charge $300 for a toilet seat that costs 40 cents. And no one will question it because they're like, that's just, military is crazy. They got to get their money. I don't know. And then instead, they don't pay attention to an extra $100 versus $2 billion or whatever they need, you know?
Right. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Exactly. So then that money is just put into the retrieval and reverse engineering fund.
Yeah.
So it's, we're working hand in hand. So it's like, and also I guarantee a lot of these guys that are high up in the military, it's almost like when a cop becomes like a high end security guard after he's done, it's like, it's like, oh, you're going into private enterprise. You're basically still in the military anyway, because you and a handful of guys have all the information that was talked about today that nobody can know about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This points out too, that, what Grush is arguing in I'm going to put out a justification for why you would run a top secret, off the record, non-sanctioned reverse engineering crash retrieval program for decades, as Grush implied. And you would do so because you thought the fate of humankind was in your hands. And you're like, you know, if in 1944 we come forward with evidence that we're not alone on this planet.
1930-something, right?
Right, 1930-something. Then the world falls apart. Now, is 20,023, or is that the time to do it? I mean, I don't know what happens if this is the first conversation that leads to a watershed moment. But I could see the justification. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's irrational, but I can see the justification that says, you know, we kept it secret because it's the fate of the world.
Yes.
In our hands. Now, what is problematic to me about that is that, well, one, that's just not really how America is supposed to operate. Like, that's you know, like, that's not the system that we've designed in this country. But also, we know very little about what these non-human biological creatures are, if Grush is correct.
Yeah.
And he danced around that and was emphatic. Every time somebody said extraterrestrials, he said, you know, I don't want to say that. I say non-human. Shane and I mentioned that perhaps the reason why NASA and other agencies have always said that we have no evidence of extraterrestrial craft or beings is because they're not extraterrestrial. They're terrestrial creatures that have been here longer than humans have, and that's what these all are. And maybe that's what Grush is hinting at, or as he implied, there might be some interdimensional play going on,
right? And I another moment I had that I really learned a lot from was when he did that, like, very, for somebody like me, very layman's explanation of the hologram. What's it called? The hologram.
Hypothesis. Yes.
And I think what he's talking about is, because I think there's different types of this phenomena. The same way they had the cubes, and then they had the orbs, and then and then you have discs, and you have, this is like, I think everyone think about UFOs, they're like, oh, I just think of your traditional disc, but I think some of this phenomena, when he said that it's how it can be explained, is like, well, you project a 2D shadow on a wall. Mm-hmm. If something's coming from another dimension, if there are powers involved, maybe the equivalent of that interdimensionally is what's happening with some. That's why you see these things in a flash or whatever happens.
Yeah.
So to me, I was like, oh, so it's just like a imprint from something else that is living in some other dimension, or is it like a deliberate projection of that, or is it we don't know our science, and we're all running in these dimensional circles, and then we're just catching little parts of this stuff. And that's what because the way I thought about it with interdimensional was, it's from the fifth dimension, and it creates so much power, it knows how to rip through and come to ours, or make themselves seen in ours, whatever it is, or us see them. And like, it's a craft and it's technology, but I'm wondering if it's like, no, it's whatever whatever their physics are there, it can bleed over. It bleeds over because of whatever process. And that was interesting to me, where it's like, oh, the accidental aspect to some of these things, where it's like, you know, even if you are seeing, you've seen the cube go through or fly through the sky, it's like, are you seeing an imprint off something else that happened in another dimension? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, there's probably, it's so complicated. I don't know if I can get my head around it if I knew what it was. So they told us tomorrow and they're like, definitively, this is it. I think that's one truth also. Like, even when you say George Knapp, and he's like, I'm dying to know what it is. I think at the base, what they're talking about is like, they know this is all for real. They know the beings are for real. They know that these phenomena are for real, but they don't know the ground zero of it, like the exact origin point and going. And like, I think there's only very few people that maybe do know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing I'm curious about, where it's like, hey, some of this is actual, a built craft that comes over from somewhere else or from here, from the water, or is it just some weird other physics phenomenon that we don't know, but that's part of our science as well, and we just have no grasp of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That hologram idea is really interesting, because people have hypothesized that we're three-dimensional shadows of a four-dimensional world. So that would explain why destiny and fate are a real thing, because we don't have control. Imagine a shadow thinking it can control where it goes. We like our brain that works in this dimension, but it's based on something that's happening in a dimension that we can't understand.
Wow.
So it goes real deep. It's crazy. These hypotheses. It's insane. I love it. It's so weird.
I'm gonna look it up, but there's like science behind it.
Yeah there's absolutely real science behind it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear, I thought Congressman Burchett, his folksyism was on full display. Dadgummits and brothers. I see my good buddy over there. He was in, you know, my dad was a great man. I'm a mediocre man.
Yeah, it's my anniversary today.
He was the best.
Boy, I tell you, he's a great man.
He was real countrified.
So here's him asking about this exact
become aware of actual evidence of extraterrestrial, otherwise unexplained forms of intelligence. And if so, when do you think this first occurred?
I like to use the term non-human. I don't like to denote origin. Keeps the aperture open, both scientifically.
Right. Well, can you pause it for 1 second?
Certainly.
Yeah.
That's a crucial point right there. When he says it keeps the aperture open.
Open, yes. Yes. Like, that's why I played the clip.
You could close the aperture. Like, it's like, do you know something that opens the aperture? Is that what you're saying? Like it's like, you obviously have more information because you can't say certain things in public, but opening the aperture means like, I have no clue. But he obviously has some kind of information.
Exactly what I mean? Why I played like, that.
You're not narrowing down anything else during this, but you're saying, I call it non-human because I want to open the aperture up. But why are you opening it up if you have no idea even a little bit? Because are there things that discount it being extraterrestrial that you can't talk about? So we go on to the next thing and we open up the variety of what it could be. That's what I'm wondering. That's what, like, him saying that makes it seem, it'd be like us saying that, like us going, hey, I call it this because I have no information about this stuff, and I only know what I've looked into and we've talked about and all this, but I don't have any hard concrete evidence. This guy does. And obviously the people that he talked to over the past 4 years, whatever it's been, or even longer, because whatever, obviously they have some kind of hypothesis of where this thing's coming from. So if you're opening the aperture, it's got to be for good reason.
Yes,
exactly.
If he's the guy who has all the fucking info, he's saying that because, hey, we agree. We don't think they can travel. So guess what? They're from here.
Yes.
Like you said, they're terrestrial or they're, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is no doubt in my mind that David Grush had a Fox Mulder, X-Files moment.
Absolutely.
Where he was talking with someone and he called them ETs and he said, well, hold on. We don't know where they're from. We know they're here. Mm-hmm. We know where they are on this planet. We don't know how they got here, if they've been here before us, if they're coming through a wormhole onto our planet. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
So to call them extraterrestrials, to imply that somehow they're hovering outside of space, outside of our atmosphere, is a disservice, because it's going to confuse people in the long run. We need to move away from that language. I mean,
absolutely.
Grush didn't wake up one day and decide to open the aperture. Somebody clearly communicated to him.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
These things, and although I did find it interesting that Fravor said that these things were hovering at 20,000 feet. They would then go up to 80,000 feet. And he was like, just so you know, 80,000 feet is, that's space.
Yeah, I'm glad he said that, because I'm like, 80,000, what? Is that like just right above a plane flies?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So he's yeah, just he, like.
Yeah, and that's why, I think that's what kind of structures the extraterrestrial hypothesis, because they're like, well, if they're up there and they're darting around like crazy, then
right.
they could travel. It might take them a bit, but if they're going Mach whatever, or you know, they sure. could be from some other planet that's X amount of light years away.
Right.
And I think that's why most people go that way, because. But then when you hear about when USOs go into the picture, and then him saying non-human intelligence, then you bring in dimensions into it. It's like maybe it is the complete core of it, nobody has the origin is the one thing that's like, where the fuck, what the fuck,
right?
We see them and we see evidence, but I figured just by the craft itself. So you've had 90 years and you had a lot of good minds on it. Just by the craft itself, by the process of trying to reverse engineer it, I think you would probably get, how is there no evidence of origin of a species,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like how is yeah. there, how is there zero, not one thing on the craft that makes you go, oh, because remember it was like Lou Elizondo is like their power. They create their own gravity and they're yes. powered that yeah, yeah. It's powered that way. So that can make it extraterrestrial because they can travel far lengths easily, mm-hmm. but that's still a long trip even for a craft like that. But I agree with you, Justin. I think it's like you've been so read in. Come on, you're opening the aperture because you know you should be. Maybe you don't know the exact answer, but you know more right. than the people you're talking to.
Well, I hate to say this, but one of the things that I think we're discovering as this goes on is nothing is really off the table. And as much as we said Tom DeLonge's a nutcase, some of the things he was saying were like the Roswell incident. They found hieroglyphics on the on things they found, and yeah. Tom DeLonge is like, the language is Greek. It's they're quote unquote Greek gods that have just continued to evolve, and they're gods, lowercase gods. They're not God. They are advanced civilization from back then.
Wow.
And that's crazy.
That's what Tom DeLonge's
that's what Tom DeLonge has been saying. There's interviews out there that say this is what it is. If you read his books where he initially, which was a government thing, trying to disseminate information via his entertainment company, I believe that was a government thing trying to push this out. He discussed this. He was like, yeah, it's small lowercase gods that have the ability to do whatever they want, and they are from that part of antiquity.
And that kind of fits into the Jacques Vallée thing,
yeah,
where he says the phenomenon has been around forever. It's the same thing that people thought of as fairies, and I guess the Greek
sure.
gods.
It gets real woo, man.
That's interesting.
It gets real woo, and it's even talking about that is like it's so far beyond what they mention in the hearing today,
right?
That's like you can do this and say yes, these things are real. But the minute you start even mentioning stuff like that, they're like, he's still crazy. So it's like, you can't really go too far down those roads, but we're going to eventually find out where they lead. And hopefully it's I think a good thing.
The point to me is that if in fact we have a statement where we're like, yes, there are some other non-human intelligent life that are interacting with this planet in various ways and have been doing so for what we consider the course of human history. The worst thing that anyone could do was start to talk definitively about who and what they are, because clearly we have no idea.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like clearly not. I mean, if what was described, and I believe what was described in the Tic Tac incident off the coast of San Diego, which we can listen to, there was a really great description of it that I think every American should listen to, a really poignant set of questions that we led with that quote of like, well, we have some investigation to do. I mean, you know, six people saw a propane tank shaped object with no wings, no rivets.
It's Four sets of eyes.
No, but he says six involved. So I think he means the two that went out after.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I think one flew as close as 50 feet. Is that, did I remember that correct? Or there was,
well, they were half a mile.
The red square.
Oh, that's red square. That's right.
That Graves was talking about.
That's right. But he said that.
And he repeated, he goes, I think it was Raskin says, this guy was within 50 feet of the thing. And he said,
Right there. Wow. They said half mile, he said, which in terms of flying is actually pretty close. There was no heat signature, no propulsion. It moved, it stopped, it could accelerate a ways. He said it was in 2004, it was beyond what we understood physically possible. It's beyond what we understand today, and it will be beyond what we understand 20 years from now. If that's correct, and I think every American should listen to that portion of it, then like we have some investigation to do. Somebody said this is a question for science.
Just a bit.
There's a question for science. There's a question for engineering. Like, we are on the precipice of coming into contact in a new way with something that is not only intelligent but seemingly far more intelligent than we are.
Absolutely,
or at least far more advanced than we are.
And then you can kind of, over the past however many years, you know, you try to like use the very credible information to decide if anything else, like when you hear things from Stephen Greer, which, you know, nobody, you know, I'm not really a huge fan of the guy, but when you think about the idea, like, when, you know, what also gets you a deaf ears is when people bring up environmental impact, and that's part of the reason these things have showed up. And you guys have destroyed your planet. And the Ariel incident, when they said that's what they were being telepathed, and then people go, "Oh, but John, what's his name? Not John Mack or whatever. That John Mack, he was a big hippie when it comes to environment. He influenced those kids. But then you hear multiple times you hear that was the case, and then you also hear from Greer that these technologies that could be reverse engineers from here and they have already been could like basically cure the energy problem in the country and different ways of energy. And then you have one, like when you hear about this and you hear about reverse engineer, you go, well, maybe that's true then. Maybe that, or the schematics of it is true. Meaning like, well, based off that info, these things could be made, but not that they have the technologies, but they, based off what they learned from these craft, like what they were talking about in this hearing, they're realizing there's withholding a lot of big information because of for profit or for military strategic reasons. So it's interesting to like disseminate like what comes off, because I think it was such a sober, it was insane how matter of fact they said the word phenomenon 50 times during this thing. How matter of fact they were just like, okay, so when pilots encountered, it wasn't even a question. I know Congress already was like, the Navy went in closed door and they were like, okay, they're real, but that was the Navy. But the fact they're just asking questions like,
sure,
oh, so these things, they encounter these things, and they're not saying like, what was it? Not one person was like, what was it? Like, for real, what was it? Like nobody's like, come on, it was a plane. Not one person was like, and if you see any other congressional thing, everybody's bickering back and forth and would have been like, are you sure it wasn't a plane? You know, that kind of thing. So I think that's why that was so important today, because it kind of gives a lot of credence to like the real sounding things from guys that we've all known about for years. Even the Tom DeLonge thing, it's like, that's so batshit, but it's like, maybe you get to a point where that's partially true. I don't know.
I mean, because this is a game of if craft are flying around with no regard for our current knowledge of physics, what is possible? It's an improv game. It's like, if this, then what? It's like, literally the book is unwritten and you can write anything you want until someone proves it wrong.
Right, exactly.
And one of the issues with what happens next, which came up repeatedly, and we'll listen to a clip that I thought was sort of the epitome of what was going down, is that the Congress people that were in the hearing kept saying how they kept getting stonewalled and running up against clearance issues. And at one point, they said that, you know, iPhone footage of these things was classified as TCIS, which is, you know, or TSIC, top secret confidential.
Right. Overclassified.
They kept saying, stuff was overclassified. And there were questions about, is there anything that happened 20 years ago that can't be declassified? You know, they were saying, like, when can we start? And then this clip that I'm going to play was directed at David Grush, but you can tell exactly what's going to happen in the upcoming weeks based upon this clip. So just listen to
that. And then maybe we get into a skiff at the next hearing that we have. But who in the government, either what agency, sub-agency, what contractors, who should be called into the next hearing about UAPs, either in a public setting or even in a private setting? And you probably can't name names, but what agencies or organizations, contractors, et cetera, do we need to call in to get these questions answered, whether it's about funding, what programs are happening, and what's out there?
I can give you a specific cooperative and hostile witness list of specific individuals that were in those.
And how soon can we get that list?
I'm happy to provide that to you after the hearing.
Super. Thank you. And I yield back.
So that, I mean,
on his shit. Right, I love mean, this guy.
Yeah. I mean, we heard the word skiff, and if you don't know what that is, I think it's a secure compartmental information facility. So it's a way for to communicate confidential information in a secure way to specific people with the same security clearance as the person giving the information.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that there's another interesting part. It's interesting. He said a cooperative and hostile witness.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes.
That was interesting because I'm guessing part of his investigation he dealt with, but it's funny that he still, so I'm guessing hostile witness list means they turned them down, or they just, he interviewed them, they wouldn't ask questions.
They were evasive. They were
cooperatives. Cause then it's like, well, there you go. He gives you the list, and then you call those people in front of either a closed session or an open session of Congress. It's like, there you go. That's the next step. That's easy.
Right. That's the next step. I think the next step is clearly David Grush is going to appear in a skiff in the upcoming weeks to certain members of Congress who have top secret security clearance or whatever security clearance is needed. And he's going to answer some of the questions that he repeatedly said he could not answer in a public forum.
You know, but I'll tell you, and it's my pessimism is the thing is like, they get into this, that's the next logical step, but man, oh man, considering how long things take, what's the day of that skip? Like, it should be a thing where it's like, when does it happen? I'm like, I think it'll just take so long. And that'll be a thing where it's like when he's actually giving the closed door session, how many people are going to try to put the kibosh on that as well?
That's a good question.
So I have really so much hope for it, but I'm also like, oh my God, this is going to be like so piecemeal. It's going to be so much. You're going to drip out.
And what if they get into that skiff session and they're like, oh, wait. Yeah, there is a good reason to keep this quiet. Put it back in the vault. We don't want people
that's
to know.
That's another worry. Yeah. He already, you know, it's like, oh my, how many times is he going to show these guys, like the inspector general, who, you know, that sounds pretty official to me. Can they subpoena the inspector general in front of it as another thing to be like, this is the info that I saw. I saw this info and it's legit. And like, it's one of these things where I think you're right. It's going to be a thing. Oh yeah, this is, maybe there's overclassification on certain things, but a lot of these should be classified for whatever reason. Cause the way that I don't know if I talked to you guys about it. One thing I never realized, I thought it was things were classified just because, hey, they're classified.
Yeah.
But then when somebody brought up the idea where it's like, no, they do it because of tech. They do it because of us, of our sensors that are sensing these things. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody on the panel today was like, yeah, but even that iPhone thing or even certain instruments there, it's like things from 20 years ago that are, it's like, you can just blur that out and do this. And like, and also like, do the screens not look like the gimbal video and the Go Fast and that also had information in those screens?
Right. Yeah. That's weird.
How much information can be on it that you can't just digitally erase it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me unless their whole entire system is spoofing what the results look like. That doesn't make any sense. It's like they're not doing that. So it's like
I think that it's interesting to see. It will be interesting to see if like they, you know, I don't think anybody's going to give up on this thing. I think it's going to be really, really interesting to watch if, you know, but is the fact the skiff takes place, will that information be public? The fact that they even have it, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's a good quote from that Garcia about the media, because man, the only way we find out is if they report on these things and it's legitimate and like, the reports are factual.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the question there for me and it's, is, you know, today we had a ton of conversation in the media about, let's say, Hunter Biden and his plea deal that the judge seems to be rejecting. And in my mind, I'm like, how is a plea deal with Hunter Biden more important than the fact that we might have a non-human intelligent life? And we heard a sworn testimony in Congress about that. But that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
And if the American people start to clamor and say, why are we worried about this stuff when there's potentially a non-human intelligent life on this planet? Like, that's so much more paramount to me, but I think it's going to take pressure from the public where, again, like I said, I think in some ways politicians still respond to their constituents, and if they're getting calls and they're getting pressure from people, and if Matt Gaetz sees that his reputation is somehow rehabilitating,
which
like you know, like you know, where if suddenly people see that like, wow, AOC and Matt Gaetz are working together on this, you know, because it's that important, does that wake people up enough to go? I mean, you mentioned that you have family members who in the past were very dismissive of this stuff. I mean, my dad is extremely dismissive of this stuff. And if I call my dad and say, hey, look, you got to watch this congressional testimony.
Yeah.
Does that lead to?
I think there's a factor that happens. There's a phenomenon that I think that also happens with people like that are dismissive. I have family the same way. And even this, I know a couple guys through comedy that nothing will be good enough. It'll be nothing. They could show you the craft, a HD video of the craft tomorrow with the official. We put it through the testers, and it's all for real. That was there. It's and the statement from the guy who saw it. It came from space, and you'd still have somebody go either it's CGI or they'll go. Right. It's us. It's China, and they're lying to you. That's a go to. And I think at that point we have to get that part out of the conversation in order for to, at that point collectively, the world has to agree this isn't fucking China. The balloon thing should have done it. That you have crisp clear video of the balloon, and then two other things happened that somehow weren't filmed. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, so that should be enough for somebody to go, well, that's weird. This thing, the way it says it operates is. I think people think that's another thing about like the mistrust of government. I think people think like, oh yeah, even this guy saying we don't have this technology, how does he know? We're 1,000 years ahead of everybody else. And it's like, yeah, but even 90 years ago. Yeah. Why not? Why not? I think people have to don't give a shit. Some people just don't care.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is maybe it's a safety measure where because for me, when you talk about the thing with like the Tom DeLonge stuff,
yes.
And there's a story I want to tell you guys before we end that somebody told me at a show, and I take it with a grain of salt just because if I really did believe it, it would blow my fucking mind. Right? Yeah. So yeah. I think even people like our parents' age, I think it's a thing where it's like, oh, if I laugh this off with these guys talking about this, I don't have to rethink my reality.
Yeah.
And I don't have to It's science changing. It's physics changing. So it's like everything I know is a lie at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
it's tough.
The lives that much.
Yeah. Right? And we're thinking about people that aren't even in this realm of thinking already. So for me, when this actually became a reality, I was really struggling, that I think someone online said ontological shock. We got to get used to this. I, as someone who even wants this, now I'm like, oh my God, do I want this? Do I want to know? Because it is so much easier to be like, just punch in, eat my hot dog and go to work, go, you know, do my thing. Like, it's so much easier to live your status quo as opposed to going like, oh my God, life is completely different than I assumed. It's at least what I hoped, but God, it's scary either way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's freaky. And getting your head around things is really hard in this topic, especially when you presented it. For me, you're presented in a scientific way where you're like the hologram thing you just said.
Yeah.
It's like there's science behind that, and I'm still like, oh gee, dimensional science blows my mind.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I think until for most Americans, until like it affects the price of gas and eggs, it's not gonna matter, right? When somebody says, yeah, the aliens took out the gas pipeline, and so now gas is, you know.
Yeah.
And Then it's people are going to be like, what is aliens? Holy yeah. shit. What?
They touching my gas? Don't touch my gas. Right. Definitely don't touch my eggs.
Right.
It would have to be them landing on the, they'd have to interrupt the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because the Super Bowl was delayed.
No, yeah. it'll land at the Bass Pro Shop in Memphis at that big pyramid. And it's, is it Nashville? Where is it at? It's going to land there and then they'll be on.
That's funny. They mistakenly landed the Vegas casino yeah. that's shaped like a pyramid yeah, yeah. thinking it's.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think I think that especially for everyday people, I think they're just gonna be like, well, when I find this out, my life doesn't change. And I think what guys like us are trying to say, it's like, no, it does. Your life changes. Your yes. understanding of everything changes. Your understanding of science changes. Sure. And what you've been taught to think for 45 years changes. So how does that not? That's why I think it's scary for people. It's like a come to Jesus moment at that point, you know?
Yeah.
It's basically a science-based rapture if you really think about it.
It is. We've definitely discussed this before, is that if someone like my father says, okay, I now agree with you that there has been a decades-long since Roswell crash retrieval program of non-human intelligent beings, and the government has hid it from me, you know, for 80 years. Well, then it opens up the possibility that, like, well, maybe 9/11 was an inside job. If you can keep an 80-year crash right. retrieval program secret, because everybody always says, how could they do 9/11? Someone would talk, and you're like, right. well. If you could do an 80-year crash retrieval program and not get leaked, then... And that was another thing they asked multiple times, if there was a misinformation campaign by the U.S. government or officials. And Rush continued to say, I cannot say more than what I've said publicly. I can say more in a confidential setting, which means yes, there is. I mean, yes, clearly there has been a misinformation campaign. And I think that's groundbreaking for some people.
Yeah.
Because it's much easier to believe that most of what we're told by the government is true and there's not a lot of secrets out there. But this suggests a massive, you know, the iceberg, you know, that underneath the surface there's been a major, major difference in what we're told and what is actually truth.
Right. And I don't think it's – and I think the difference, you know, it's so funny. And if you really started from the 40s, they've had 80 years to really – weave this into the fabric of society. So, and I don't think it's a Simpsons stonecutters type meeting that this is it's going on. I think it's just an understood thing that permeates in different positions higher up in military and in defense contracting for this topic. But then you have the finance world involved in it, and probably the tech world as well. There's no like twiddling of mustaches going on. I don't believe that. I think it's an understood thing of. I don't think there's anybody turn around going, if they knew the truth, they would rise up in the millions and do this. I think it's just a thing like it's an agreed upon reality that nobody gets to know the real basis of all this stuff. It's a shame because it's like, especially if the technology part is true as far as like environmental technology goes, because then it means like, stuff hasn't been done on purpose, and a lot of people die, you know, based off of it. So I think that, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's so embedded that at this point, it's like, when you said the disinformation, that's like that guy, I think maybe it was unacknowledged, but if he was telling the truth, the Richard Doty, you remember Doty, mm-hmm. who was the misinformation, then came out saying I did misinformation for,
yes. And
the same way you can do that with UFOs being like, you're a whack, you're all these, just these rednecks are what, look, checking out UFOs, is the same way that they kind of did it with like this above the government group, that because they gave it a name, Illuminati, and then if anybody brings it up, they're wearing a tinfoil hat and it's a conspiracy. Yes. And then what you're realizing is it doesn't have to be a movie based villain in a dark coat, but it could be just an agreed upon thing like, oh yeah, this is an oligarchy and this is the way it works, and I'm sure. I'm in charge now because I'm in the defense business, you know.
Yeah.
It was a quick note before I want to get back to your story, is there was a point where Grush did say that there were civilian government and civilian administrators operating to make decisions outside of the sort of normal chain of command. And that sounded a lot like the stories you've heard of, like the Majestic 12 or whatever.
Like this
super group of people that, and that was really telling to me, that when he said that, and he said he could speak more about it off.
Yeah. You know,
he also brought up, he said the word elected officials as far as involved in not been blocking this information getting out,
right,
which is interesting to me. I'm like, at what level would that be? Because they talk about it not being the president because that's a temporary position. So who elected is in the know of this and then purposely thwarting the release of the information?
Right.
Yeah. It's a great question. Probably Clarence Thomas.
Probably Clarence. That guy. He's probably a real piece of work, I tell you.
he probably took paid
vacations to Venus.
I think just like we've been getting at is all of this stuff. And if you really, what I've taken from it is you have to rethinking our science is the main takeaway from all this to me, where I'm like, oh yeah, even if it is a natural phenomenon, which I don't think it is. I think it is some, like you said, like maybe it's terrestrial and they've been here, but the space-time comes up so much. And then also when Grush came out, the other articles that came out surrounding it, that who knows how credible they are, was talking about the manipulation of space-time. And remember there was the one, I think I talked to you, Shane, about and speaking of football field, the craft, when some lawyer came out and said, I have a client that says he was in the military and he stepped into one of these things, got dizzy. It was 40 feet long. And then you stepped in it and it was like the size of a football stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a star TARDIS. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I'll tell you real quick. I'll try to do this. I was a little bit drunk when we were talking. This guy came to my show in Dallas and I do a joke at the end of my headlining set where I mention UFOs and I make it really uncomfortable. I'm talking to this guy at the bar, and this guy was in the army. Show me his credentials. Like, he's in the army. And he said he has a, and he was telling me, hey, I know the group, I forget the name of the group, and it's a publicly known group that does the retrievals. I know through a buddy of mine that this group called like J something, only certain guys from the group do it. And it's once every 18 months when they find one, but they send these guys over and it's always like hush hush and they go grab this thing. And so he knows this guy that's in it, and he goes, you always joke around about UFO stuff with him and whatever it is. And two things happened. One of the things he told me is that when the Grush article happened, he texted the guy and he said, oh, are your buddies with Grush? Like joking around. And the guy called him immediately. He's like, what the fuck? Who the fuck told you to call me? What are you talking about? What Grush? And he like badgered him for like 10 minutes being like, dude, seriously, what the fuck do you want? Like, and they're like buddies. Right. And then granted, that could be whatever it is. But he also, I take this next thing with a grain of salt. He also told me that this same guy heard a story about these two guys like high up in the military, like in that group. So it was like, you know, a certain amount of clearances, but not the top clearances. Mm. And what they were doing, they were invited to some base in the, like the middle of the country, in the middle of nowhere that you don't even know is there. And they're invited to this base. And they said they walked in, it just looked like a regular facility. And at one point they go and they were talking about some meeting, some conference that was coming up. And they were supposed to be, they were setting up the conference for whatever debrief or whatever it was. Yeah. Right. And they go and these higher ups and then come in. And they said they were in a control room with a bunch of TVs that supposedly showed all the rooms all over the complex. And they said they brought them into a conference room where they're supposedly going to have the conference. And they said, What do you think? And it looks like a normal conference room. And they go, all right, what would you do if you wanted to change it? How should we change it? What would be good for the meeting? And they were like, maybe more chairs over here. Take that fixture off the wall. We'll get a bigger TV. We'll do this, right? And they said, all right, we'll take off for a sec and we'll invite you back in or whatever. And he said that they waited in like a waiting room. And about 10 minutes later, they brought back in the same exact room. And it was exactly how they... It was exactly what they said to do. What? And they didn't see any crews. They didn't see any plaster. They didn't see any drywall. They didn't see any, right? So then they go, they did it to them two or three times. And they, every time they came back, the room was different.
Ashton Kutcher, man.
I think
his
theory was that they were trying to look for our reaction. It basically was a reverse engineered space-time manipulating technology that they wanted to try out on us and see either see our reaction or whatever the fuck it was. Now, do I believe that story? I even if I did, I could not get my brain around. Yeah. If I'm taking it at face value, I cannot. And this guy was legit. I saw his, he showed me his military ID. This guy was in the military and he was into this stuff, and he heard the story, but it's such a weird, mundane that I'm like, maybe it's true. And this was like, they were brought in as like test subjects on this, on this reverse engineered technology, and see if they would freak out or something. That's what I had in my head. What a, I'm like, why would they do this to them and let them in on this if they weren't just doing it because of the conference? They could, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it's, it was kind of, it was a cool story, but I was like, I can't, my brain cannot buy it for the safety of me going, not going nuts.
Yeah. I love that. Like, and to me, it doesn't sound like a lie because no one would be like, you remember when the government took us into a private room and changed the drapes without us noticing? It's like, no, that's not, no, that's not what you would say.
No,
that's a real experience.
Hey, this guy, there was an alien there, and you really go for like the gusto, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you don't. It's not about fashion or interior decorating.
It sounds to me like the government has found this technology, and they're like, okay, we have this technology. What do we do with it? We can't. We can't seem to get planes. We can't create craft. We got to monetize this, and someone's like, "What if we made a hotel where you go in?
A loft is a UFO.
And you're like, go in your hotel room and tell me what you want it to be like, and you're and then you're like, now come back out. Like, what if we did that? That would be the best hotel ever. And they're like, so they're just trying to figure out ways to use this technology to monetize it.
Good on you, Marriott.
They're bringing Howard Johnson's back.
They are.
Yeah.
But it's such a fun story. But it's one of those things where it's like. Because I'm like, it's so like, yeah, especially for a guy like this, it's like, it seems like maybe that's the genius of it, that it's so just regular and you're messing with a conference room and you did it. And there's probably a real world explanation where they were brought into a different room or something. And then they took it as, oh my God, they're, you know, but also weird. They made them wait and they did. So it's like, and there's no real information there. And who knows what the truth is, but
I wonder if by the third time,
it seems such a nonsense thing.
Yeah.
By the third time they asked me, I would be asking for extremely bizarre details to see if they were like, you know, if they were met, like, I would be like, I want Justin Bieber drapes, right? I want the chairs to be made out of marshmallows.
And like a trampoline on the ceiling.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Yeah. Like but I love the story. I was like, all right, that's a pretty good story. And he's like, dude, it's, oh my God.
Well, it's fun because
it was through a friend, you know?
It does tie into this whole idea of consciousness and how we basically create everything around us. If they've discovered how to literally adjust the fabric of reality on the base level, then maybe that's
what it is.
Maybe that's what it is.
Right.
It's like
the test.
Yeah, it's manifesting quickly. It's like
that's what I mean. That's why it's kind of believable. If it's the idea that space time can be manipulated, just like these craft do.
Yeah.
Then they had 90 years and they figured out, hey, we can do it with conference rooms. That's about it.
Next
step,
stadiums.
With office furniture.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Well, And I guess we unfortunately have to wrap this one up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's obviously not the last time that we're going to have to get together because.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I guess my final thought is, I don't think I've ever done this, is to people listening, please, like, I've never asked anyone to call their congressman on the show. Yeah. But I am going to go home and I'm going to look up my congressman and senator and say, I want more information on this. I watched it, I hope everybody does. I hope millions upon millions of people demand that more information come out about this, because that's the only way that we're ever going to see put pressure to have a SCIF and then have those the information that can be released to the public is to continue to put pressure. Otherwise, 20 years from now, we're going to be talking about. Remember that hearing in 2023?
Yeah.
It never went anywhere.
It's going to be like that one hotel. Remember the hotel lobby with the guys that, whatever his name is?
Yeah. It's going to be another.
Which also, it's like this lends so much credibility to those guys as well. You know, they should be thanked as well. But I agree. I actually did. Ocasio-Cortez is my congresswoman.
Nice.
And I called the last time when they had the one with Kirkpatrick. I called her and I said, you got to show up to the, she wasn't there, but I said, please, please, please. I want to show up to this thing. This is an important issue. So I'll call again. I'll call. You know what it is. You call and you leave a message.
That's
voicemail,
right.
Whatever it is. But it's still, there's some, I think you're right.
There's some congressional aid that call.
And, yeah. And because why not? What can it hurt? If it's bullshit, what was it? It's a phone call. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, so that's my final thought there.
All right. My final thought is, yeah, this is serious. This is a big step. Like I said, it's a paradigm shift. One of the things that Lou Elizondo has said, maybe one of the reasons why it's been kept secret is because what if the sheer or just the knowledge of this is a threat to civilization as we know it, which on one hand you could say, yes, I think society will change in a number of ways if this is true. The second thing is, what if we are an experiment and we are just a petri dish and say our scientists that are watching us that fly these UFOs are like, well, they become aware of the project. We got to shut it down. So that could be another thing. So this may be good, but it also may be the end of us as we know it, not to spread fear. But I do have a book out that you can buy for $12.99, and please buy my greens. They're good for your anyway. But I think they,
well, you know what's so funny is, the alien scientists might shut us down, but we're going to do that anyway in about, I'd say about 15 years. So I think.
Oh, yeah. Something will happen. It was 101 in the water in Florida this week. So, yes, we're fucked.
It's the kind of thing where, what was the other, real quick, the Jimmy Carter thing that he kept asking about UFOs and he was ready.
Yes, and he cried.
And it was that. We were created, and it was that that we were just a farm, like an ant farm, whatever it was.
Yep.
As far as my, do I have a final thought? You guys just
Go for it. Yeah, let's hear it.
I would say this. I would say, just like Justin, you said in the beginning, like it's not much new information for us. This legitimized the fuck out of UAP.
Yes.
And I what I'm hoping is, my takeaway is that what I'm hoping is this just inspires just a absolute cavalcade of information and files and like circumventing what happened today. So today is this snail's pace, turtle in the race, government version of what people knew for years. But what it does is it legitimizes a lot of what we already knew.
Right.
It brings it to the forefront. And all I'm hoping is that, I'm hoping that it just inspires a lot more of this information to come down, like legitimate factual information to come down the pipe.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone better to talk about this with than you.
And, thank you. I have a blast talking about it. So I really appreciate you guys having me on, man.
Absolutely.
And I know you'll be in Minneapolis this weekend. Where else can people catch you in the upcoming future?
I have in August, the first week of August, I'll be in Batavia in Illinois at the Comedy Vault, which is actually a great club. I have, if you go to I'm at Shawnee Time on Instagram. I have a link up with all my dates on it. It's right in my bio. And besides that, I have a handful of stuff in local in New York and New Jersey and the rest of August. And then that's about it for now. And then I just have a podcast I do called Brand New Jerks. We put videos up every week. So check that out on YouTube, actually, mostly because that's where everything lives now.
Yeah. And you're coming to Raleigh not too far from now, right?
Yeah. That's a little ways down. October 1st, I'm going to be, oh my God, what's the name
Kings.
Of the venue?
You guys Kings. Know
it. Kings.
Yeah, Kings.
Yes. I'll be there doing a set. I'm taping it. My buddy Jeremy's taping it. I'm going to put that's going to be the YouTube special. So yes, October 1st. Awesome. October 1st.
We'll get a big crowd out there for
us. So, it's a great club. I ran a show there for 10 years, basically almost 10 years other than the pandemic. But yeah, the great people, great club. So I'm happy to have you there. It's not my club, but I'm happy you're there.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I can't wait. And we get to hang out when I come.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, you guys will be around, right?
Yeah. We will definitely
Around. Fantastic.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, and thanks for listening. This is the Weird Science Podcast. I'm still Justin.
I'm Shane, and this was
Weird.
Say your name. There you go. We never brief you ever. Yeah, we're the worst. We're getting to start as strong. Hell yeah!
Thank you guys. That was fun, man.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.
Really good.